Alabama and Tennessee's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on Camel Day, the hump day, middle of the week. We're going to get you all the way to go home time on a Friday afternoon, but right now it's hump day. So hang in there. We're halfway to the weekend. Text in from Mike, class of 83, Grissom High School. My classmate, Mike. By the way, Mike, I'm still jealous of your cars. I've thought about you multiple times. Those pictures you sent me, unbelievable. Like my two dream cars are in his garage. I could go all day. I just want to come hang out in his garage. Anyway, he says, okay, I see what he's doing. So the hostage deal right now, there's I don't know all the points of it. There is some discussion about whether there are going to be like hostages for prisoners. Like,
so I just looked it up and said that in exchange for, quote, a far greater number of Palestinian detainees for the hostages.
Yeah, that figures. Yeah. They always get like a 3-for-1 kind of. So Mike from Grissom High School, 83, says Netanyahu ought to issue all the released prisoners a complimentary beeper on their way out. Hit me some applause on that one. Maybe some laughter, too. That was excellent. Oh, Mike, good stuff, man. And yes, I want to drive your cars. All right, let's go dipper number one. Coming up bottom of the hour, we'll have Emily Jones, host of the podcast that we have here called the Controversial Mom. She's the founder of Moms for Liberty. She'll be on talking about some of what I'm about to cover with you. But let me just open by saying this. Has anybody put together the absolutely schizophrenic view of life that Democrats have about women? Because on the one hand, they will scream at Pete Hegseth, you don't trust women to be able to do hard things. You don't want women to be in combat zones. You're picking on women. You're a misogynist and you're not faithful. And they're all about the women when it fits their agenda. And then they'll turn right around and virtually every Democrat in the House votes against a bill that protects women's sports. Why? Because suddenly the idea of fake women means more than real women, and real women no longer have the same rights they did. Does anybody else see that, or am I the only one putting that two and two together? But it equals a really ugly four. So all said and done, the Democrats have got a skewed view of women. And I got to think about this. Okay, what am I going to do this dipper on today? And I've got all these articles I'm going to go through in a minute. But it occurred to me, this is like the women's suffrage movement, where at the turn of the century, women's suffrage, and suffrage is usually defined as, you know, gaining the right to vote in political elections. The archaic kind of way of describing it is, you know, giving assent to something like a proposal or something in favor of something. You know, the really, really old version is that suffrage is in some way tied to intercessory prayer. All right. But in modern terms, suffrage generally means seeking the right to vote, which women have sought the right to vote successfully. Now I feel like suffrage for women is just gaining the right to be allowed to be women. Think about it. On the one hand, They're told they have no rights to privacy. They have no rights to, you know, sports of their own. They have to compete against people that are biologically men. They have to put up with men being in their restrooms and just on and on and on. And yet, at the same time, the Democrats claim that they are fighting for the rights of women. And I would just tell you, no, they're really not. So let me walk through a few things that have happened, though, that, in my opinion, are the pushback. It's part of the fight right now. It's part of the modern suffrage, if you will, to make sure that women are still allowed to be women. Story on the National Review, Dateline 2 days ago. A federal district court in Kentucky says slam the door on the Biden administration's attempts to mandate gender ideology. All right, so you may recall Title IX. We talked about it many times on the show. Title IX is the law put in place in 1972, I believe. Yeah, 72. And Title IX of the U.S. Code protects women's rights in education and ensures that they have equal treatment. Okay. Sounds reasonable. It's been great since 1972. I've seen everything from lawsuits about whether there were equal playing fields like softball versus baseball. I've seen things like making sure that they have programs available, that you can't hire another coach for the boys' football team until you've provided coaching for the girls' teams, you know, stuff like that. And it makes sense. And then there's the equal rights issues of access to not facilities, but even learning capabilities and ensuring that there's nothing that impedes their ability to have an education. Great. Except that the Biden administration thought it'd be a cool idea to go ahead and say, and that means gender identity. Oh, good. Now the dudes who think they're chicks are allowed to have all the rights under Title IX, which is exactly what Title IX was not supposed to do. Well, the court in Kentucky came back and said that expanding the meaning like this to include gender identity, quote, turns Title IX on its head. And the Kentucky federal court slammed the Biden administration. And why is this important? Because, yes, the Biden administration is leaving. Yes, the Trump administration would have done away with the rule. Absolutely. But this puts the nail in the coffin so that no future administration can bring it back. By the way, our Chattanooga listeners will be proud to know this decision came out of a case called State of Tennessee versus Cardona. So Miguel Cardona is the Secretary of Education for Biden. State of Tennessee's Attorney General Scarametti, who has really done an amazing amount of work, Scarametti filed suit on behalf of the state, and 12 other states, including Alabama, jumped into it, went up and just basically had at it. So that's a good thing. And it basically means they're going to try and, like, I don't know, redeploy common sense. Which, how do we get here, by the way? How do we get here to where the laws that protect women suddenly no longer protect women? In fact, they do just the opposite. Well, we're going to protect the men that think they're women because that's just the way it is. Well, how about the women who think they're women? Do they not have those same rights anymore? Well, that encroaches upon the trans women's, anyway. I mean, we've had some things, and it cites some stuff in this National Review piece. For instance, there was one 15-year-old girl in West Virginia who lost the chance to compete in track and field because a male took her spot on the team. She was even forced to share a locker room with that same male who then harassed her with vulgar sexual comments and made her feel extremely uncomfortable. A male athlete has finished ahead of nearly 300 female competitors. That's that same male athlete has finished ahead of 300 female competitors in the last 3 years in track and field. It's just unreal. In Oklahoma, there was an 11-year-old girl who stopped using the restroom for the entire school day because she frequently encountered males in her private space. So basically what we got here is the suffrage, the modern suffrage, the right for women to have women's rights. Just took a major leap forward with a court ruling that will now become precedent that future administrations will have a hard time getting around. Now, that being said, there's another layer to this. Because what you do want is not just legal precedent, you want congressional action. The legal precedent, very often, you'll have precedent set when there's a matter that is gray. In other words, the statute is not clear, or it's ambiguous for that matter, or there's nothing in the law that says otherwise, and there's a case of what they call first impression, which means that they've never had to deal with this before, and now the courts have to rule. But then there's times when the courts are interpreting the congressional action. But if you don't have any congressional action, then you're in the gray zones. In the absence of legal precedent, let me back up. As an attorney, the thing you want most is black letter law. You want congressional or legislative action at state or federal. You want the black letter law. That is always more permanent. That is always more decisive. There will be times when it will be interpreted differently by the courts, but for the most part, the black letter law trumps everything. Case precedent, though, is still important. But we just got some black letter law moving. It's not law yet, but it's getting there. GOP lawmakers, story here on Fox News, Dateline yesterday. GOP lawmakers and Riley Gaines slammed Democrats for voting against the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act. I mean, this is a no-brainer bill. Every single Republican in the House voted for it. Two Democrats voted for it, Representative Henry Cuellar of Texas and Vicente Gonzalez, both of Texas. They voted to pass it. But all of the other 206 House Democrats voted against it. After the bill was passed, it says Republican congressional representatives and women's and rights advocates condemned the Democrats who voted against it. Speaker Mike Johnson said it was shameful that only two Democrats would join them. And he says the American people sent a clear message in November. They want us to return to common sense. But it seems that some of our friends in the other party are ignoring the plea. These are major leaps forward. And this is big doings. And yet, at the same time, think about where we are. That we're having to fight for women's rights to have women's rights. That's the modern suffrage, in my opinion. We're taking a break right now. We'll come right back. And I gotta play you. Brace yourselves. I'm going to play you an audio clip from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the young barista in Congress. Had some great comments on the floor. Wow. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, listen, I got to tell you guys. So Right Side Media, the parent company, we got a lot going on. So Right Side Radio is only one of our productions. We got multiple podcasts. We got video and audio podcasting. We've got a written op-ed that comes out every week. It's published in newspapers all over the place. We got all kinds of stuff. Go to our website, rightsidemedia.org, and check it out. But one of the things Butters has reminded me today, so we do a daily newsletter. It's called the Right Side Report. It comes out by email. If you want to get on the list, super easy, that phone number I was talking about, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Just text the word newsletter and to that number. And you'll get an automatic response back that says, here's how you sign up. And we'll get it in your inbox every single day. We won't sell your list to anybody. Don't worry about that kind of thing. But one of the things that that Butters has got going right now is there's a daily poll. And the poll right now is on which one of the confirmation hearings do you think is the most important? Which one did he say was leading so far? Do you recall?
Hegseth was leading right now.
Hegseth is the most important right now.
As of right now.
According to our poll.
I think he said the poll will be up until Sunday. So y'all go sign up and...
And get the newsletter.
Yep. And, let us know what you think on that poll, who you think is the most important confirmation right now.
Outstanding. Hey, all right, coming up, bottom of the hour, don't forget Emily Jones calling in from Moms for Liberty. We got a lot to talk about. And she's also one of our podcasters, by the way. She hosts the Controversial Mom podcast, which is really, really solid. But she's probably going to love the comments from AOC. AOC qualified as a barista, but not necessarily qualified as a congresswoman, except she got elected. AOC, who will say almost anything and just be absolutely sure it's right, even though there ain't no way in God's green earth she ever was told that by somebody with an ounce of wisdom. Well, she had a rant on the floor about women's sports and the disregarding of the transgender women, she says. And she even went on to make certain claims that I'm thinking, what is she talking about? You got that thing queued up? How long is that clip? I posted this morning and I forgot what it, like a minute 12 or something like that?
No, it's 2 minutes and 14 seconds.
Oh my gosh. I'm not sure we can do AOC for 2 minutes.
No, we have to, we'll go as long as we can bear.
Kick it off.
Thank you so much, Madam Chair, Madam Ranking Member. Here we are today. Republicans who have voted consistently against the Violence Against Women Act, who have taken away the right of all women to choose and have control over their own body, who, as women are bleeding out in parking lots across the country, standing there, allowing us to die.
Stop. Does anybody have any idea what she's talking about? Women are bleeding out in parking lots everywhere.
I was like, what does that even mean?
What's happening at Walmart? What is going on in the parking lot at Target? I do not understand. Women are bleeding out in parking lots everywhere? What is she talking about?
Everywhere.
Last I checked, by the way, violent crime is still a crime. Like, there are actually laws.
Last time I checked, yeah.
And I feel certain that we're about to talk about abortion, too. Go ahead, play it.
Now want to pretend today that they care about women. And why? To open up gender and, yes, genital examinations into little girls in this country in the so-called name of attacking trans girls.
My God, stop. And to that- There's no such thing as a trans girl. Can we go ahead and make that clear? There are dudes and there are chicks, and that's it. And then there's dudes that think they're chicks, and guess what? They're wrong. Just saying. But I like the fact that she says that Republicans are pretending, while she pretends that dudes can be chicks.
Yeah, ironic, isn't it?
Play it.
That today, what we have to say are two words: not today. The majority right now says there's no place in this bill that says it opens up for genital examinations. Well, here's the thing. There's no enforcement mechanism in this bill. And when there is no enforcement mechanism, you open the door to every enforcement mechanism.
So let me get this straight. What she's saying is going to happen. What she is hypothesizing is going to happen. Her postulations, her ruminations, what she is saying is going to happen is that men won't be allowed to participate in women's sports, but to make sure that we know who's who, everyone has to come up and open their pants for inspection. Listen, that's not going to happen. It's just not. Can I go ahead and say it's not? By the way, JP, you played sports pretty much all your life.
Yep.
How many times did you have to get a preseason physical?
Every year.
There you go. And I'm pretty sure you have a birth certificate.
Yeah.
Yeah. And since I've known you like your entire life, I happen to know you're a dude. But yeah. But there's going to be a whole lot of that going on. And that's just what always happens. There's not going to be anybody on the sidelines doing genital inspections. Keep playing it.
Trans girls are girls.
No, they're not. Okay.
And for all the folks that are so concerned, thank you for your concern about women for the first time that I've seen. I don't know about y'all. I don't know who's been to gym class lately, but girls, even if you only believe in two genders, I've played co-ed sports all the time. But what this also opens the door for...
Hang on, sorry. No, she didn't. No, she didn't. She didn't play co-ed sports. If she did, it was going to be along the lines of, you know, like couples tennis or something.
Pickleball.
Pickleball.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's not... It's unreal. All right, listen, we're going to take a break. We're coming right back with Emily Jones, the founder of Moms for Liberty in Madison and the host of the Controversial Mom podcast. Whew. Let's see what she has to say. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. I'm talking about from Huntsville over to Chattanooga, Tuscaloosa, over to Gadsden. Big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. All right, so we've been talking for the last little while here about what I've coined as the modern suffrage movement. The idea that women used to have the women's suffrage movement to gain the right to vote. And I would suggest that too often when we're fighting against liberal agendas, that today's modern suffrage movement is women trying to gain the right to have women's rights. I mean, it's nuts. Well, somebody who is in the mix on this stuff right now is our friend Emily Jones. She is the host of Right Side Media's Controversial Mom podcast. She is also the founder of Moms for Liberty out of Madison. And she's on the phone right now. Hey, Emily Jones, how are you doing?
Doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you for making time for us.
Of course. Always.
Well, listen, you had Riley Gaines come and speak at the dinner y'all had last year. Did an amazing job. But Riley Gaines was up on Capitol Hill again yesterday talking about the House passing the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act. Did you see that?
I did. I vaguely have seen headlines here and there, but I saw that there, and I was on a call today talking about legislation that needs to be passed and all that. So, yeah, she's staying in the fight.
She is absolutely staying in the fight, but the amazing thing is that the fight's still going. My understanding is that particular bill is designed to put legislative action onto the movement we're seeing everywhere to protect Title IX from any future encroachments, but like almost, with exception of two, every Democrat voted against it, which still boggles my mind.
I know. And I mean, you would think that after the mandate that the American people gave our government, yeah. I'm not even going to say Trump, but gave the government to say, we're done with your crazy stuff. You would think that more Democrats would come around. I mean, you've got how many Democrats now that have left the Democratic Party and more or less, at least associated with the Republican Party, And yet you still have that many people that just continue to vote the same way every single time because that's just what they're trained to do. There's no thinking, no questioning, no rocking the boat, nothing.
There were actually two Democrats, and both from Texas, Cuellar and Gonzalez, who voted for it. And I'm thinking, so what happened back in Texas? I mean, are they just more conservative Democrats, or is there something in Texas that said, get your acting, you know, together? I don't know. All I know is this is such a common sense piece of legislation that you look at and go, how can you vote against it and then still keep a straight face?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, how many, and we've all heard the statistics of how many women have lost scholarships and awards and titles and all of that. You get a mandate like we gave in November that said, we're tired of this. Like, we want women to be women and nothing else. And you still continue to vote for the same old stuff. Yeah. But I'm with you. Like, what happened to those two people in Texas? And how long will they remain with the Democratic Party before they're kicked out for ruffling feathers and not following in line?
Well, I know that one of them, Cuellar, has actually been very vocal about the southern border, asking for the Biden administration to do more, and they wouldn't. So puts him in a rock and a hard place, I'm sure. Let me ask you this, though. Did you also see, though, that the federal courts have put a pretty serious legal stamp on getting rid of the Title IX degrading that the Biden administration was trying to do?
I did. I was actually on a watchdog call earlier today, and they were talking about it. And one of the attorneys that was on the call was a part of working that whole piece of, or the whole court case. So that was always fascinating to hear the inside scoop. But it was a great review or a great ruling from the judge, just basically killing it in the crib. But, the conversation we had today was that basically this is a great thing, but it doesn't mean that we all just kind of get to take a step back and rest. It's going to come up to the states. You're going to have states that are going to fight this, that are going to continue to implement it. And normally, I support that. You know, I think things should be states' rights to the extent possible. But the guy today brought up a really good point of really this isn't something that states should get to decide on their own, because you're going to have issues where, and we've seen this, where you've got one state that rules one way, another state that rules differently. Yeah. Well, what happens when those two states have teams that compete?
That's right.
You're going to have issues. And, you know, we saw that with the volleyball team, I think it was, not long ago. So I do think there's going to have to be legislation that truly defines male, female, in the sense that it goes beyond just sports and boys not being in girls' sports. So I do think there's still a lot of work to be done, not just locally but nationally, because they're going to have to define it. We're just getting to a point where you can't ignore it anymore. There's going to have to be something legislatively that dictates so all laws can be applied based on sex, not gender or whatever you want to call yourself each day of the week.
I have to wonder too, you know, yesterday we had the Pete Hegseth hearings for Secretary of Defense, and there was all of this talk about or questioning about whether he's a misogynist, whether he degrades women, whether he is against the idea of women even serving in the military. And I have to think that the Democrats are almost schizophrenic when they, on the one hand, claim to be the champions of women, and at the same time, they will do things like AOC standing on the floor of the House claiming that if we vote against the idea of so-called trans women, that we're voting against reality. It's like how do they live in the two separate worlds all at one time?
Yeah, that woman's just bonkers by herself. Everything she says, it just makes me scratch my head, but I'm with you. They kind of flip-flop on their views. They're all about women can do everything that men can do. We've got to protect women. We've got to give women the right to choose when it comes to having an abortion or not. Well, guess what? Trans women don't need that right because they're not women. They can't get pregnant. But nobody wants to say that. Nobody wants to talk about how, it just like you say, they flip-flop back and forth depending upon their topic of who has rights and what we must protect.
Well, my hope is that the common sense is restored and that some of these shenanigans and this activist mentality goes away. But hey, let me ask you this. So your most recent podcast came out Sunday, and you dealt with the idea, you kind of timely to what we're talking about now. You dove right into the idea of women being fully engaged in the political realm. Talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a place that women naturally don't go. And I know you and I have had that conversation before. I certainly never got into politics until I had to. But politics is, it's brutal, it's nasty, it's backstabbing. It's all the things that women don't want to do to be. You know, we're not naturally controversial and confrontational. We're typically the more nurturing, stay-at-home, raising babies type people. But what I've learned is that really and truly women have to be involved in politics because so many of our priorities are being overlooked because we're not involved and we're not being vocal. And, you know, I reference in the state of Alabama, we still can't define what a woman is,
yeah.
Which means not only are we as moms in jeopardy when we go to the library and there's a trans man in the bathroom because, well, we don't know what a woman is. Your daughters are in danger because, well, you can't prevent men from going in their bathrooms. We can at least keep boys out of girls' sports here, but it goes far beyond that. So there's so many women in our state that aren't involved in politics, that aren't making their voices heard, that are not calling their elected officials and saying, legislative session starts in 2 weeks. The very first thing you have to do is define what a woman is, raise the age of medical consent, put the power back in the parents' hands, get the library stuff fixed so my children are not exposed to all this pornographic material. You know, the list goes on and on.
Yeah.
But women aren't naturally engaged there, so they're not calling their elected officials and telling them what needs to be the priority, and we need to change that.
Listen, there were a couple of times down in Montgomery when I was there in the state Senate that we had moms bring their kids down there for bills. Like, we had one that dealt with whether insurance would cover autism treatments. And we had another one that related to a medical intervention for kids that had seizures. And, you know, the insurance companies were resisting. Moms bringing their kids to the state house is what changed the dynamic. I'm going to tell you right now, that's what passed those bills, because they were bills that really didn't have traction before the session started. Nobody really saw them coming. But when moms showed up at the state house and started talking about being a mom and why I need you to pass this bill, the dynamic shifted. You could feel it in the state house, and you almost got to where you knew that you better vote for that bill, or there's going to be a bunch of moms knocking on your personal door back at home.
Well, the phrase mama bear comes because mothers are ferocious. It's not just some trendy little thing they say. So, I mean, I agree. Moms have the ability to truly change the dynamics in our communities, but it's just not a place that we naturally go. So helping women understand being involved in politics doesn't necessarily mean you have to run for office. If you want to, that's great, but it doesn't mean you have to run for office. Just go make your voice be heard and bring life to the legislation. I mean, exactly what you're saying. It's one thing when it's a bill in front of you that's black and white, nobody really understands it. But when you've got a kid standing in front of you and saying, this is why it matters,
yeah,
that opens people's eyes and they see things very differently. So women have a lot more power in politics than they realize. We've just got to help them get there.
Well, your podcast does a great job. And you got, what, like 5 editions out, I think, so far. Is it 5, 7? We're up to 7. JP gave me the 7. Wow. all right. Every Sunday, Emily Jones puts out the next podcast of The Controversial Mom. And I think it's timely. I think it's needed. That's why I'm really glad you're part of the lineup.
Yes, I'm enjoying it. I am learning a lot. And as I learn stuff, I feel obligated to tell everybody around me all about it. So I've got more on the SEL saga coming out this next week. So it'll be very enlightening and terrifying.
Oh, God. All right, Emily Jones, Controversial Mom. We appreciate you. We'll talk again soon. All right.
All right. Thank you. Y'all have a good one.
See ya. She really does do a great job. And so, listen, that's one of the things I was talking about. At Right Side, we want to cover the various genres. It's not always about my voice. I don't want it to be just about my voice. I want it to be about the voice of the everyday citizen. And sometimes there's different means and methods of communicating that. That's why Emily is such a great addition to our podcast lineup, because she's talking to moms. I mean, if you're a mom who's like, I don't know how to do this stuff. What do I do? What should I be aware of? I'm not even sure what's out there, but I want to get involved. Just go watch her podcast. It comes out. It's like 20 to 30 minutes long each time. It comes out every Sunday. The Controversial Mom, and it's awesome. We got the other one, The Liberty Minute. Do you care about your liberties? Do you care about the things that make America great? Well, former Navy SEAL Jared Hudson does an amazing job in a beautiful studio of putting together his podcast that comes out, generally speaking, on Thursdays. And then, you know, I've got mine, The Right Philosophy, the same kind of things you hear about in my my opening monologues. You'll hear an expanded version, and it's me sitting in my study at home, and I love the production on this. I love the ability to do it and just, like, bring people into my house, so to speak, and sort of give them my thoughts on things. I call it The Right Philosophy.
The episode of that was out today.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Today's the day. That's right. The latest version of that came out today, and I spent a lot of time unpacking the leadership issues that surround the fires out in California and how much could have been avoided had we had real leadership involved. So, yeah, I called that one Leadership Fiddles, California Burns. And then on Fridays, Right Click is our other podcast. There's four of them. Right Click comes out, and Birdman does an amazing job of using a sort of a backdrop of high-tech and gaming to talk about conservative positions. You'd be amazed how much woke crap gets put into video games these days. Unbelievable. Like, you want to pick a transgender character to be your avatar? Yay! I mean, there's so much stuff built into this that he brings to the forefront. All that's out there so that everybody has something to look at, and we got more in the works. In the meantime, we're going to take a break right now. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. Hey, don't forget, coming up top of the hour after the next break, we come back with the Grand Council with my brethren Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. So a couple of text messages real quick. John from Harvest checked in about, we heard the comments by AOC earlier. He said she said she played co-ed sports. Said she probably played beer pong in a frat house and thinks that's a co-ed sport. Nailed it. Nailed it. Hit me some laughter on that one. That was worthy. That was worthy. Lisa from Tanner, Alabama says, the left claims falsely women having miscarriages are afraid to go to the ER so they bleed out and some die from it. Is that what that's about? They're bleeding out in parking lots because they're having a miscarriage?
I think that's probably what she's alluding to. They're too scared to get an abortion, so they're going and bleeding out in parking lots. Don't think that's happening.
I don't think that's happening.
At a large scale, at least.
I really don't think that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not happening. Okay. But, you know, as we wrap this up, I will tell you there's the fight is still on. Like here's I got two stories here that I'll end with that both from the Daily Signal, both within a couple of weeks of each other, both have different outcomes. I'm saying that this is the modern women's suffrage movement, as women no longer have to fight for the right to vote. In this case, women are fighting for the right to have women's rights. That's where we are. Daily Signal, Dateline November 17th, so right at 2 months ago, says, a year ago this month, this lady wrote, I was able to rid my left-wing college of liberal gender ideology. So she fought back. This is a great story. I covered this back in November. It's an awesome story. A young lady who said that she heard, and she was shocked to hear, that she goes to St. Mary's, which is part of the Notre Dame system. It's an all-female school. All women's college, and that suddenly they had written in that applicants to St. Mary's could, quote, be people who consistently live and identify as women at a Catholic all-women's college. Well, she got real busy. She organized a protest. She organized a list of people signing up saying, put me down as being opposed. I mean, she had a petition for and she went straight to the donors of the school, who then also said they would be pulling their donations. She got it changed. And yet at the same time, Daily Signal, 2 weeks prior to that, third-year law students, Celine Saranowski and Maria Arcara, expressed concerns after a male classmate informed them of his proposal to add feminine hygiene products to male restrooms. And when they dared to make comments about it, they were punished by their law school for daring to speak up. The male student accused them of bigotry and complained to the Office of DEI. Of course he did. 2 weeks later, without explanation or warning, they were given no contact orders that prohibited them from having any contact with the male student. They were trying to be censored. They're in law school, by the way, where they teach you about the First Amendment and how to defend it in court, having their First Amendment rights curtailed by the law school. Let that sink in. So you have a Catholic school trying to go against scripture and admit men who think they're women. You have a law school trying to suppress the First Amendment. One of those came out strong. The other one came out not so strong. What I'm saying there is this fight ain't over. There is so much more to be done. All right, you guys, we're taking a break. We're coming right back with the Grand Council with Jeff Poor, Dale Jackson, and little old me. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.